What's up, guys? How's it going? Doing okay? I'm trying not to make too much noise. That was the most silent transition I think I've ever heard. As you guys are sitting down, normally you talk a lot. Wow, okay, that didn't work either. This is going to be an interesting journey today because I was hoping you guys would laugh at every single joke that I made because I... Thank you. Because I'm incredibly insecure in that, but it's fine. Don't worry. No, guys, I'm Charlie. I'm one of your worship leaders, and I'm just super lucky and glad to be with you today. If you didn't know who I was, that's who I am. I haven't had a chance to speak yet, but I'm just super blessed by this opportunity. I heard that it's like there's a lot of exams this week. Is that true? Does anybody have like just midterms or something? I forgot. It's been a long time since I've been in school. Now I just work two jobs and have a lot of fun with that. No, guys, I'm really excited that you're here, that you've chosen to come and spend time on this weekend when you could be studying or sleeping and just dedicate some time to the Lord and to being in community with each other. And I really think God's going to honor that. So even if you've got a lot going on, thank you guys for being here. And I hope you feel just at peace with your decision. So today, we're going to be continuing in our sermon series. So we've been talking about spiritual warfare and particularly the armor of God. And today we're going to continue in that. And as we've been kind of working our way from the top down, right, we started with the helmet of salvation. We did breastplate of righteousness and then the belt of truth. And this week we're going to go down to the shoes. So feet fitted with the gospel of peace. And since it didn't have like a clever something of something, I decided it was called shoes of peace because a lot of them say shod your feet. A lot of translations, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me because I live now and not 2,000 years ago or whatever. So shoes of peace, right? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And essentially, that's what it talks about. So we're just going to keep reading. I want to recap a little bit. Or actually, before we do anything, let me just pray really quick. Let me just get our hearts in the right spot. So if you guys would pray with me. Father, just thank you for today. Again, thank you for the sacrifices that these students have made to come here and that they've made to just put you at the top of their life and a priority. God, I pray that today you would be speaking through me, through what I've prepared this week, and that we would be able to just learn and grow and that your word would be what's powerful and not what I have to say. So God, I just pray that I would step aside and allow you to speak and that you would be heard. Lord, soften our hearts to hear you and to know you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Cool. So we're continuing in Ephesians 6. I'm gonna reread verses 10 through 14, and then this week we're going to introduce verse 15. So just to kind of like give us this recap of what we've already talked about so far, we're going to read back a little bit. So starting in Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And this is what I was talking about whenever I said the other ones have like a really convenient something of something. But feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is a little more difficult to summarize. But I also want to read it in the Amplified version, which is kind of this version that takes what was written and kind of adds a little bit to give you kind of the idea of what the words really meant to the people in that time period. So as we read Ephesians 6:15, I think it's going to be up on the screen. Oh, cool. It is. Nice. It says, "Having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news." I just really think that's a good way to kind of expand what it looks like. It could be a kind of a confusing verse. So like, what does that mean? What does the readiness of the gospel of peace mean? So today we're going to talk about shoes. So if you guys like shoes, this is going to be great. And I have my new shoes on today. Wow. I know. It wasn't on purpose. It was just a coincidence. But so I'm pretty sure everyone in here owns shoes. Who has more than like 5 pairs of shoes? Okay, pretty much everybody. Who has more than like 10 pairs of shoes? Still a lot of people. I was going to keep going up, but I'm not going to do that because there's so many of you still. But basically, so we have all these pairs of shoes, right? And if you think about it, a lot of them are just to look good, but there's still a lot of shoes out there that serve a purpose, right? So as we look at our shoes, I have several pairs of shoes. I have like my hiking shoes. I have snow boots. I have like shoes to do activities in, running shoes, even though I don't run at all. You still have them. And so we see that the reason we have a lot of shoes is, yeah, sometimes it's just because they look nice, but a lot of them serve very specific functions, right? Like each shoe you have is for a specific thing that you do, even if it's just like to look good with this outfit, right? And as we look back, we see that we're fitting our feet with the shoes of peace, right? And as we've gone through this whole series, it's really talked about the armor of God and kind of relating it to Roman soldiers, because Roman soldiers were like the force back then, right? So as you looked at it, that's what you wanted to wear to be equipped for battle, to be equipped for the spiritual warfare. And so I have a picture of kind of, oh, wow, nice and grainy. That's my fault. I sent a bad picture of what these shoes used to look like, right? So these were specifically for soldiers in battle. And so you see it's got a lot of straps there, so it was held tight against their feet and on their ankles. And it has really thick leather and then like these little spikes. Basically, they're called hobnails, which are just like flatter, thicker nails that they would put into the shoes to help their feet grip. Just think of like cleats for sports. I haven't played sports in a long time. But basically, they were called caligae. I don't have the word up there, but that's what they called them. And so it fit. It served its purpose really well. They owned this pair of shoes to specifically march and to use in battle. It helped stabilize them a lot, and it helped them because they carried a lot of stuff. They had a lot of fighting to do. So when they talk about about fitting your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, these shoes of peace, they were talking about sandals like these. Right? They're talking about stuff that serves a very specific function and is very helpful in battle. And so as I read this, it made me think kind of another passage of scripture. And that's what we're really going to hone in on and analyze today. You've probably heard it a lot. If you've grown up in church, if you haven't, then you get to experience a really powerful piece of scripture today. Even if you have, it's still going to be powerful. It comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. And I think I got it up on the screen. Sweet. So we're going to read this. This is, again, what we're going to focus in on today. But I'll go ahead and read it out loud for you. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's on our side, basically. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we will face death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And Paul is actually quoting a psalm here, Psalm 44, I believe it's verse 22. And it continues, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is just so powerful, and I think it really encompasses, as we talk about the spiritual warfare, as we talk about the spiritual battle, kind of gives you this full range of what's going on and what I think the shoes of peace, the gospel of peace really brings into the battle, right? So our big idea today is that our understanding and belief in the gospel of peace gives us a strong footing to stand on in this spiritual battle and then gives us the confidence to march forward. So if you take anything away, try and remember this. I know it's pretty long. It's not as, actually they made Twitter so much longer now, so you could still tweet it It used to be like you had to make your big idea like 140 characters and it was so hard. You guys don't even know. But this is the idea I want us to take away, and we're going to examine it more in depth. It's kind of, as you, if you look at it, you can kind of see that it almost reverse engineers this, having your feet equipped with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It starts with the gospel of peace and then gives us readiness, and then we're equipped to move on. So we're going to start by just looking at the gospel of peace. This is kind of our big idea at the beginning, the first part of this big idea. And this is what we need to begin with, because this is the foundation that everything else is built on, right? This is everything that this spiritual warfare, everything that this armor is built on, is the gospel of peace. And I think it's really fitting that it's the shoes, the bottom, because everything else starts there. And without the shoes, then, you know, like, where else is the footing come from, right? And so gospel just means good news. So the good news of Jesus and of his peace. And the reason it's phrased this way in Ephesians is because it's the gospel of peace, not just the good news, but the good news of peace, which is the message Jesus gave to everyone who would trust in him. It gives us an assurance of our standing with God. It gives us assurance of our peace with God. And that, like it says in John 10:29, that we're his children and nothing can snatch us out of his hands. And it reminds us that we didn't do anything to deserve this, but that Jesus gave it to us freely. And it's the truth of the work that God did through Jesus, and that's what gives us this peace. That's the peace that comes from the gospel. And so, like I said, we're focusing on this Romans passage. I want to break it down just piece by piece. So we're going to start, look back at that Romans 8. We're just going to do 31 through 33 right now. It says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies." And I really like that this is our starting point, because it kind of summarizes almost everything already. But we really just want to look at it from this lens of the gospel of peace. And this just really clearly states why our peace is found in the gospel, right? We can find our peace in the gospel because we know that God is for us, just like it says in verse 31. God is for us. And because we know, just like it says in verse 33, that God is the one who justifies. It's not our actions. That's why we can find this perfect peace. And by understanding and believing these two truths, our foundation, as our foundation to like build everything else on, right, as the gospel, we build just this incredibly strong foundation that, you know, when we know that God is for us and he justifies us, then like what else really matters in the end, right? So why can we find this peace? Because God is for us, right? And if God is for us, who created the universe and reality and time and everything, God is for you, then, you know, who can be against us? As we talked about at the beginning, there is an enemy, and that's why it's a battle. And we talked about his tactics and what he does to attack you, but when we look at this passage, we know that anyone or anything else that would try to come against you, come against this peace given to you by the gospel, is by the gospel and by our immeasurably great God, is just pathetic in comparison. And so let's look at the Gospels themselves. So the Gospels are just the first four books of the New Testament. It's kind of the story of Jesus, and the rest of the New Testament expands on that. But Jesus literally says in John 14:27 that peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And again, I like when the Amplified just kind of helps us understand what those words really mean. I think I have it up there again. Yeah. "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." And so it takes this idea of peace and reminds us that it's perfect peace. It's not just the peace that you experience in everyday life separate from God, right? Because like on the world's terms of peace, like what I can think of the ultimate for me would be like just chilling in the mountains, right? And just sitting there, like hiking around. Some people, maybe it's like on the beach, like with the waves, and that's like peaceful, right? Or like a massage or something. So like peaceful in our worldly terms is just when things are easy. And peaceful in our worldly terms are just when nothing's hard, there's no challenge, there's the life is good, right? But as we look at peace in the Bible, we realize that it's not talking about when life is easy, but peace whenever things are hard. That peace calms you in every circumstance and gives you courage and strength in every challenge. So that's what it's saying. Whenever Jesus says, I don't give you as the world gives you, I'm not giving you that peace they expect, but I'm giving you the peace that surpasses understanding. And so most of the time, whenever he talks about peace, it's like, don't be troubled or afraid. And it's about finding peace when you should be troubled and afraid. So God is stronger than those who would stand against you. Remember, that's what it says in Romans. And that implies that there is someone standing against you, but that his peace is greater than the attacks of the enemy. The peace of the gospel is that we are saved, and that peace is greater than any peace that could come just from an easy life. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Paul talks about this gospel and explains that it's on the gospel that we take our stand and what we build our lives on. So starting in verse 1, it says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he raised on the third day according to scriptures. And that's what the gospel is, and that's where we find this peace. That Christ died for our sins because there was something that had to be paid, but that he rose again, and that scripture has fulfilled itself throughout all of history. And he reminded us exactly of what had to take place, that Christ had to die for our sins, but that he rose again. And he reminded us that it is through this gospel that we are saved and that we can find our peace and take our stand, which moves right into our next point, that we can take our stand because the gospel of peace provides a firm footing, a firm foundation. And as we break down this Romans 8 passage, let's just read verses 34 through 36 together. It says, who then is one who condemns? Is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we are facing death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And here again, he just reminds us of the gospel of peace. So you see this theme in Paul, just continue in Paul's writings. He wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament. You see this theme, just the gospel of peace and what Christ had to do, because that's, again, where our firm footing comes from. That's where we build our foundation. He reminds us that no one can condemn us because we have put on the righteousness of Christ and that Christ is always interceding for us. And so we have assurance and peace because we know that nothing can separate us from Christ. And that's the ultimate overriding peace that we have, is that nothing can separate us from Christ and that we are in peace with God because of that. And so let's look back at Ephesians, just kind of the intro to this whole armor of God passage, right? And just as we read it, see if anything stands out to you. Just in this beginning, kind of the setup for why we need the gospel of peace. So starting in verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. And so, like, if you're like me, what stuck out to me was just, like, to stand. And the idea of standing your ground, and the theme of being able to withstand the attacks of the enemy and not be shaken. And that's why they bring in the Roman shoes, right? Because remember those like nails, the cleat things on them? That just is what helps you withstand the attack. And as we go into battle, you can't overlook your feet, right? I didn't want to reference this one, but I think I have to. Do you guys all have watched like Forrest Gump, right? Do you guys remember? No? Wow. Then this is going to be lost on you. So whenever he went to Vietnam, right, Lieutenant Dan just talked so much about, like, making sure you had on the right shoes and you had on the right socks. I don't know why, but every time I talked about this, this is all I could think of. And I know I should be using a more real and probably holy example of what it means to, like, care about your feet, but it's important to care about your feet because as the Roman soldiers understood, this is like a really weak spot. You know, once your feet are out of commission, you're out of commission. And so actually in like ancient battles, they would do like essentially like what would be the equivalent of today's landmines. They would just like sharpen sticks, but only like, you know, that big so you couldn't really see them. And they would put them in the ground so that whenever you would be charging at them, you would step on those sticks, right? So just imagine like stepping on a nail or something. And then you wouldn't be able to fight. You know, you wouldn't be able to say, I know, it's gross. But don't actually think about it. No, I take it back. But you wouldn't be able to fight because you'd be incapacitated. You wouldn't be able to stand your ground. You wouldn't be able to move forward because you've got just this injury to your foot. And your feet are the foundation that you build on. So the Romans had these super thick sandals, right? And the leather was like was just thick enough to not be worn out, was thick enough to withstand those like landmines of the day, right? And so if you think about this, like the idea of needing to protect your feet, needing to protect your firm foundation is really important. And that's why the gospel of peace protects our feet. It protects us so that we can stand firm, so that we can continue going ahead. So when the enemy tries to attack with lies, I think it's easier for him to take away your footing first. If he attacks your feet and then you're sidelined, it's going to be so much easier for him to just to attack anywhere else, right? Like if you're not able to stand firm, if you're not able to advance, then the battle is pretty much over, right? That's why it's so important to protect our feet. I know each piece we've talked about, right? The helmet, like, oh, that's the most important. And like the breastplate, oh, that's the most important. Like all these, I don't know what the belt actually protects, but it's super important, right, Daryl? I guess your waist, I don't know. No. It's important because it holds up your pants. Otherwise, I wanted you to make this joke, but you didn't. It's important because it holds up your pants. Otherwise, they could pants you in battle, and you would just, but he didn't make the joke, so I had to do it for you. No, I've been thinking about this all week. But each part of this armor is so important, and we need all of it to be able to fight this battle well. And I think it's really easy to overlook the shoes, overlook the feet, because it's like such a small part, and you're like, I go barefoot all the time, which I do. So like, why would I need that? But just think about those times you've stepped on things, or even like, you know, just when you're walking around home and you step on a Lego or something, it's like, if you have Legos just strewn about your house still as an adult, you might, I don't know. I don't live your life. But that's the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, right? It's the readiness that acts as that thick leather to absorb those attacks from the enemy. It's the thick leather that we can count on to continue moving forward, that we can count on to protect our feet so that we won't be sidelined by some small attack from the enemy. This peace is greater than any of that. Because we remember, like it says in Romans, that no one can separate us from him, that we can't be separated from this peace with Christ, so we have peace with everything around us. And as we continue to look just kind of at the practical part, the cleat aspect of these caligae, of these shoes, the hobnails, they function as the spikes on cleats, and it gives you that stability. And so like just think about whenever you've done sports before, right? So I have done it before. It's just been a long time. Just like, so it rains a bunch the day before your big soccer game or whatever, and whenever you're in third grade like I was. And so you could either go out there in your tennis shoes, right? You could just go out in what you normally wear, and you'll be slipping and sliding all over the place. So you could go out there in the cleats, and they just give you that extra stability you need to actually be effective, to actually move forward and to do what you set out to do. And so that's what those nails did in those sandals. They made it so that whenever the ground was muddy or whatever was going on, just imagine battle, there's got to be so much, but the nails just helped stabilize them. It helped them be able to stand on a firm footing. And I like to think of each of those nails as just little pieces of truth of the gospel. You know, it's like that you are his child, that he adopted you, that he chose you. And each one is just this little nail in your shoes and the gospel of peace, right, that's holding you firm against the attacks of the enemy. That no matter what he does against you, he can't push you back because you are anchored into this immovable ground of the gospel of peace, the gospel of truth. And so like you got to think about it. Like, I mean, I would still wear cleats to go play sports, but like how much greater is like a battle than that? And like the worst thing that happens if I don't wear cleats is I'm going to slip and embarrass myself. But like the worst thing that could happen if I don't wear my sandals of the shoes of peace into battle is that this is a life and death scenario, right? So it's so much greater. And the gospel of peace is what gives us that safety and knowledge that we are firmly planted and have strong footing in this battle. And lastly, the gospel of peace gives us the confidence to march on. And so the Romans were known for just marching incredibly long distances. That's another reason why their soles, why the soles of their shoes, the leather was so thick, was so it wouldn't wear out. You know, you hear about battles, about like the Revolutionary War, where soldiers would just wear their boots out and they would have to just like wrap their feet in cloth, and they became almost ineffective entirely, and they would be sidelined again because of injuries to their feet. But these shoes were made for walking, if you will. That was actually going to be the title of my point, but I decided that it wasn't good. But let's finish up this Romans passage, verses 37 through 39. We're in Romans 8. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are more than conquerors, right? So this sermon series is all about putting on the armor of God so that we can stand firm when the enemy attacks. And the gospel of peace is crucial to this because this gospel reminds us that even when the enemy may attack, that the war is already won. That nothing, even death, could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that when we equip our feet with the right shoes, remember we said we had all these different shoes for all these specific tasks, when we equip our feet with the shoes for the spiritual battle, we can rest in his peace knowing that when we have this firm footing, nothing can stop us from carrying this message of peace to others. Knowing and believing in our right standing with God, we are at peace with him because of what he has already done. And we remember that from the belt of truth, right? That's where we can find this truth. We know the truth from last week, and that we can't add or take away, just like Daryl was saying, from that peace with our own actions. And it makes this earthly battle, the spiritual battle here that we're doing right now, we have the confidence and the knowledge that we can continue moving forward because it's already been won. And it may seem weird to focus on peace in the middle of a whole passage that's about battle, that's about armor, and fighting and war, but like, I think it's beautiful that we focus on peace right in the middle of it, right? Because as we go on next week, we start talking about this, the shield and the sword and all that stuff, more fighting utensils. But in the midst of war, this is reminding us what we are fighting for. We're fighting against an enemy who doesn't want us and who does not want the world to know the peace of the gospel. But God has already laid out these terms of peace. He's already done everything that was required. And all that's required is faith in Jesus. It's that simple. And when we know that we've got these shoes that have the good news, that have the gospel of peace, that we know that we're anchored down, that we can move forward, and that we can make his peace known to the world, it gives us a mission, right? And the last thing I really want to leave you guys, this is kind of the only other passage that I found that directly related to the equipping your shoes with the gospel of peace. It comes from Isaiah, which was written like 700 years before Jesus was born about. And it comes from Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, and who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and say to Zion, your God reigns. I think it's really cool that these are so related. I'm almost positive this is what Paul was referencing whenever he wrote Ephesians, this idea that we can bring good news and proclaim the peace and proclaim salvation, knowing that God has already won the war so that we have this confidence. And because we have this knowledge, we equip our feet with this gospel of peace and we move forward. We know that he's already won and that he's reigning on the throne. Back when Isaiah wrote this, that he's reigning on the throne today and that he'll reign on the throne forever. And it just gives us such confidence. And that's really all I wanted to say about it. It's just the gospel of peace, right? I wanted to end with some really profound thought, but I couldn't think of one. And I realized why. And I realized it's because I started overlooking just how profound and how amazing the gospel of peace itself is. I was trying to add on like my own thing. And I realized, you know, all this foundation, everything we do is just founded in this gospel of peace. And as long as we have that, that's the most profound thought that we could have, right? It's already been there. It's already been done. And I just want us to know that whenever we have this, we have already won the battle, that we can't be pushed back, but we will always be moving forward. That we'll always be bringing this message of peace to the world. And that when we do that, the kingdom will advance. Would you guys pray with me? Father, we just thank you for the gospel of peace. We thank you for what you've already done and what you're continuing to do in our lives. And in the lives of the world around us, thank you for winning the war that we're fighting and giving us the knowledge of that, of protecting one of our weakest spots with your peace. Lord, I pray that we would live in that peace, that we would know that we have a right standing with you, and that because of that, there's nothing that can separate us. There's nothing that can come in between us and you. It doesn't matter what we do or what lies are said to us, but we know that we have this foundation. We have this truth of the peace that we have with you. God, let us live in that and be firm in our footing. And because of this firmness, know that we can move forward. That we're never going to be stuck where we're at, but that we've been equipped to continue moving and continue living in this peace that you've given. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Sweet. So we are doing communion today. And so communion is kind of this thing. Were you going to explain it, Caleb, or am I going to? Okay, cool. I got it. I should have asked him that before we did it in front of everybody. But communion is kind of this thing that Jesus instituted before he went on the cross. He had met with all of his apostles and had a Last Supper with them. And so whenever he was doing it, he said, he broke bread and he passed it around to all his disciples. And he said, this is my body, take and eat. And then he poured wine and he gave it to everyone and said, this is my blood, take and drink. And do so in remembrance of me. And so that's why it's so fun that we get to do this together as a community, like 2,000 years after Jesus. We're still participating in what he did that day, that we're still remembering what Christ did for us to give us this peace. And so it just represents this idea of Jesus dying on the cross and coming back for our sins. So we take this time, if you're a Christian, we take this time together. It doesn't matter if you're part of the church. We love for you to participate in this, just to come together as a community and remember what Jesus did for us. If this is something that's weird to you, something that you don't know much about, we have people in the back that would love to talk to you about it. If you have any questions or if you would like any prayer. But sometime during the next 3 or 4 songs, we have it up in the back corner over here. Just whenever you feel led to, just head up there, grab the bread, dip it in the juice, and then spend time with the Lord, just remembering what he did for you. All right. That's it.